Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Light the beam.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Get it done with Dak and CeeDee Lamb.
Absolutely. I mean, think about this.
But while you're waiting, it just gets more expensive while you're waiting.
I don't get that either.
What am I waiting for?
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, former Yankees radio voice, John Sterling, Michigan cornerback, Mike Sainristil. Coming up, CBS Sports and Turner Sports broadcaster, Ian Eagle. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Just hung up with John Sterling. I'll say this. We hung up with him because, as you know, we like to have all our guests on Zoom. When I called John yesterday to see if he would join us yesterday, I wanted to do my top five all-time John Sterling calls leading into him having a conversation.
Sure.
He was unavailable when we had the time, so we did it today. And I said to him, I said, what's a good email for a Zoom link? And he said, a what link?
I love that. See,
I believe that.
That's so good.
I'm not making it up. A what link?
86? Like, whatever.
85.
Yeah.
Why would I know what
Zoom is? I mean, by the way, we're not ageist. There are some 80s.
I'm saying I wish I didn't know what a Zoom link was.
I know, exactly. I know.
We all think.
So that was great with him. Mike Sainristil of the University of Michigan Wolverine football program. We Zoomed with him. And Albert Breer in hour number one. How about him saying the Washington Commanders having 22 NFL prospects at once,
crazy,
where they took them to Top Golf last night, and today they're having a picnic? Is that what they're doing? You're having a picnic?
A little barbecue.
Three-legged race?
I would say, like, you know, a practice bubble picnic, but I think they famously don't have a practice bubble, thanks to the Dan Snyder era.
Yeah.
I don't know if that got rectified in the last couple of years, but I still just cannot get over that. I mean, what do you – so – Drake, because J.J. McCarthy's not going to be in the green room, correct? Like, for the draft?
He is not going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So today is the last time Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Michael Penix will all be in the same spot, period. That's the last day at the Washington Commanders Prospectapalooza picnic. Golf and food picnic. Right?
Love it.
And they were at the combine together, and now they're at the Commanders together, and they won't be there for draft night together. Because I don't think Penix is coming to Detroit either. Mm-mm. It's crazy. I don't know what he get out of it. Breer said Adam Peters is from the 49ers regime, as we all know, and they did this sort of stuff, mm-hmm, and it helped team build. And I
can understand that, though. You see how they interact with us. You see who's the alpha maybe in the group. You see who's the guy who maybe stands up and stands out.
Okay, yeah, so and that's going to tip the scales between Jaden Daniels and Drake May? Really?
Yeah. Well, if you're not sure, do you see how they act amongst their peers?
Here's the deal.
Maybe that might make a difference.
I think right now, everybody in every building is pretty damn sure about who they're going to draft if they have an opportunity to do it. They're pretty damn sure. Their board is virtually set. I mean, we have Chris Ballard, I think, on Friday's program, an actual general manager, to talk about this. I think their board is practically set. But then again, Jim Mora Sr. once upon a time told me that he and Bill Polian were grinding tape between Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf until the last possible moment.
Yeah,
I mean, by the way, I believe Ryan Leaf's our first guest in studio tomorrow. And so, you know, asking him his draft experience, I'm sure he's told those stories here either as a host or a guest before, but we'll do it again for our new Roku audience. New-ish. But honestly, so let's have them all in for one last palooza, and then you're going to tell the difference? Like, when it's on the clock, okay, we think the best possible guy is Jaden Daniels. But, man, the way Drake May hit that three-wood, Topgolf and the way that he was kind of humble about it.
Like I said, it's more the way that he was
humble about it. Oh my God. We would take Drake May's our guy, but the way that Jaden Daniels had a napkin on his lap and used a fork and knife, his manners were impeccable. I think that's the way we're going to go.
But honestly, Drake May went blue cheese, not ranch.
Yes. Honestly, let's look at it this way.
That's a party foul.
If you're torn between two guys and you see the way one of these guys
acts. Well, if one of them acts like a total ass, then that's a different story.
I'm not defending Washington, but you just never. You could see something that happens that makes you go, I'm torn between these two.
Yeah.
This guy sat in the corner by himself. This guy was, he interacted. He maybe gave some golf tips or, I don't know, maybe. I'm
the
sure there's something
hard. I mean, who knows?
That might twist and turn and maybe give them a okay.
No, let someone
look. I mean,
I don't.
I wouldn't do it if I was running the Commanders. But
here's the thing: you need the players to play along too to clear their schedules to say, fine, we'll come. And it's not just me, or one of these guys could say, I'm using my last day on the top 30 visit to go visit a team just to do the one on one.
Yeah, would you say no?
I would consider it. Like, why do I need to go in some sort of Commander's mosh pit?
Look, if I know I'm not a top three pick, if I know, like, everyone's got me going about 17 to 20, no, I probably wouldn't go.
This may put you higher up.
You're one of 22, or you're just going to go one-on-one?
That's true. What if you're super bad at golf, and then you go out there and kind of embarrass yourself, and maybe you fall over the net?
You don't
have
to worry about dying in that case. Just go golf. Just sit back.
Yeah, I wouldn't golf. I'm going to Top Golf and just drink.
Man, we are in
that. There's no bar.
We are in that nether region right now, waiting for the draft.
Just needs to hurry up and get here.
And playoff basketball's right around the corner. I mean, we got some playing games.
Because I'm all mocked out.
Crazy stuff happened last night in the final throws of the NHL regular season, where the Philadelphia Flyers thought they needed to go to overtime in order to make the playoffs. They would have been eliminated if they went to overtime, so they pulled the goalie to avoid overtime, even though they'd already been eliminated by other results, and Washington scores in the open net to clinch a playoff spot and eliminate all the other teams that thought they had a chance.
I love it.
You know? That happened, and we're just waiting for the draft. Like, we're in that spot of April.
Oh, yeah.
Masters in the books.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, you know what I've got? This is an idea you had, and I decided to put it into practice here.
What do we got?
I got a power ranking.
Of course you do.
Of sports months.
Hey.
Oh, you see, we like this.
Do we like this?
I like it already. Okay. I like it already.
I like this. I once did a ranking of all 12 months. I never did anything with it, but
we'll see how we can compare notes.
I like this idea.
Power ranking of sports months. Here we go. Hit it, please. Rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
So as you know, 2 months are going to be left off because my power rankings are 10.
Right.
This just in, there's only 12 months in a year.
Uh-oh.
All right. And unbelievably, this makes the cut at number 10, and it's my birthday month.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's June.
Okay.
Because it's when the NBA Finals finally ends and the Stanley Cup playoffs finally end. And then you got the NBA draft towards the end of the month.
Yep.
The United States opens in the middle. And then we find out if somebody can win a triple crown with the Belmont Stakes.
That's a pretty good month.
That's not a bad month.
Belmont Stakes?
But as you'll find out, I'm kind of lean towards any month in which National Football League regular season football or college football gets played.
Interesting.
That gives them a leg up.
Okay.
And in June, in the NFL, this is when teams blow off their final mandatory OTAs or go to Top Golf for team building as their final OTAs and send everybody
not
home.
Not much NFL in June.
Okay, so that's why it's 10. Number 9 on my list of power ranking sports months. Number 9 is May.
Ooh.
Number 9 is May.
May.
This is when the NBA and NHL playoffs, it's the meat on that bone, right?
Yeah.
The Kentucky Derby, the beginning of the Triple Crown races. The Indy 500 for Memorial Day weekend fair.
Good.
And I'm going to throw this in, too, because I'm going to be hosting it in a couple of weeks on NFL Network, the NFL schedule release. Make fun all you want.
May is a good
But man. There will be the day of the schedule release, and the day after the schedule release will be all about The National Football League.
Yeah, big time.
NFL. Okay, and 100%. This is when rookie mini camps
rookie
and stuff.
Rookie camps. Yeah, okay. Rookie camps. Is there a big fight in there, TJ?
Number eight. This might be a little low for a lot of people, but September is number eight on this list. Don't you think that's really low for September?
It seems pretty low.
That's one of Earth, Wind & Fire's best songs.
Okay, number eight, September. Thank you very much. Remember. September. Wow. Football's back.
Football
the pennant races in Major League Baseball. And then training camp. You want to throw NBA training camp in there?
NBA training camp, hockey, NHL training camp.
Okay, you can do that. But that's my sports month.
Yeah, and, college.
By the way, can you tell, we do have a handful of people, if you don't mind putting that photograph up one more time, a handful of people who are so terrific behind the scenes for us right here on the Rich Eisen Show that put the graphics together. Could you tell by the choice of a Los Angeles Dodger and Mookie Betts that Sean Mitchell put this one together? Can you tell that?
He went 5 for 5 last night.
He did indeed.
He's going to win the NL MVP. Okay,
Cooper and I have him on our fantasy team together.
Oh,
anyway.
So jealous.
All right. Number 7 on the list, February.
Ooh. February 7th.
Seven.
Oh, how's that 7?
Championship weekend of the NFL and the Super Bowl. NBA and NHL All-Star Games and the Daytona 500.
Pretty good month.
That's the month of February.
Yeah, pretty good month.
I mean, guys,
seven.
Just wait. Just
seven?
Hear it out.
Seven?
Hear it out. Hear it out.
I don't know.
Number 6 on the list is putting November above this month because it's the NFL Thanksgiving. It is the college football rivalry month, and it is when separation happens in college football. Teams get eliminated, or used to be. We'll see what happens in the new college football playoffs. But this is when, trade deadline in the National Football League had just hit and November hits. And this is also when a lot of teams will cost you your fantasy spots as well.
Fantasy playoffs.
All right. So you're not digging November being this high on the list.
Yeah, I like February better than November, to be honest.
Really? Yeah. We'll talk about it in November.
Okay.
Because in between the championship games and the Super Bowl and after the Super Bowl, tell me how you're feeling.
Combine February?
No. The combine's not until March, pal.
Yeah. Remember, they moved it.
It used to be February.
Dude.
All right.
You tell me 3 days after the Super Bowl how much you're loving February.
Okay.
And you tell me in November when there's a Thursday night football game and college football's on a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday and a Monday. Okay.
Pack 2 after dark.
You tell me. You tell me how your gambling habits are doing.
Oh goodness.
Okay.
No, I don't want to do that.
All right. Number 5, top 5 on my power rankings of sports month, March.
Oh.
March Madness,
Five.
The Scouting Combine, NFL free agency, and the NBA and NHL seasons are finishing up.
MLB now starts in March.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
Ooh, 5's low.
Ipe Mitsuhara does his interviews in March. Multiple of them. He tells two different stories in March.
Wow.
All right, number 4. Power rankings, December. December is right there, man. NFL Four, playoff December, runs, NFL, Heisman yeah, Trophy, yeah. College football playoffs begin. The NBA Christmas Day lineup. Now the NFL Christmas Day lineup. December, baby.
December's nice.
December. The sad thing is I removed the most wonderful time of the year stuff because these bowl games
bowl
aren't.
Season,
but now
matter,
college or football playoffs are going to begin and it's going to be on and it's cracking.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Number 3.
Top 3.
Uh-oh. Top 3 sports months. January. NFL and college football playoffs, period. End of story.
That's
January.
It? Just January? Boom.
What do you got against January? NFL, college football playoffs. Then you've got, obviously Rose Bowl and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Thank you for putting the Michigan Wolverines on the screen right here. Could have chosen any of NFL people, but you chose the Michigan Wolverines. Donovan Edwards, an interesting choice as well. Okay. Number 2 on this list is April. April. Mm-hmm. We're in the midst of it right now. MLB opening day, Masters, NHL and NBA playoffs, NFL draft. Here we go.
Should be 1.
I know you like April.
I'm
sorry. I'm sorry. Number 1 on my list is October.
Ooh.
October. Maybe I'm just partial to the MLB playoffs. Listen, say what you will about baseball taking forever, but I watched the Yankee game last night taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays got like a leadoff runner on in the third, and I was just like still doing Wordle. That happens
Wordle?
To me. Yeah, it happens to be in October. I'm like, game's over. Season's over. Season's over. Oh, my God. They get that leadoff walk in the third. We're done. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Game over. I don't care that it's just game 1 of 7 game series. Yeah. The whole season's over. That's baseball playoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay?
Yeah, you're right about that.
Football season is in absolute full swing. NBA and NHL seasons begin. That's when every day of the week is just lit. October is the best sports month. And unfortunately for July and August, I've left them out. Only 10.
Yeah, October, you can have the equinox, too, where every sport plays on the same day.
Correct. Yep. So. And you think April's above October.
I kind of like April. A little more of everything in April. You know what I mean?
A smorgasbord?
I don't know how to say that word, but yes.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah. Is it board or borg?
Smorgasbord.
Board. Yeah.
Did I say Borg as in Bjorn Borg?
No, I've done that before where I say
it's Borg. It's Borg.
Bjorn Borg. I like April. I like April, everything.
How did that compare to your list that you had back in the day?
It was pretty
good. What was your number one?
You had October number one?
I think October. Because you remember when I told you about this? Like it was like last year. I think October was one. I'd have to go back.
Yeah, you can get the equinox in October.
NFL season is in full swing. It's the first full month where 1 to 31st, there's football being played.
So July.
College football.
July and August missed the cut.
Well, I mean, yeah. July is just, you know, MLB All-Star game.
ESPYs. Smorgasbord.
And then opening of training camp. And then August is NFL training camps. Really, it's basically it.
Was it good fun?
And baseball dog days, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I left them off.
All right. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Well, I just want to point out that July is the best month period, though.
Just in general.
Okay, July is the best.
Okay. Let's take a break. This man just finished calling March Madness as the lead announcer of CBS and True TV and what have you in full. And he's getting set to call NBA playoffs on the Turner Family of Networks. One of our favorites, Iron Eagle, coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So, make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the program, Iron Eagle will join us in just a couple of moments' time.
All right.
So Belichick's going to be part of the draft coverage on McAfee's online version, or do we know where that's going to be?
I don't know specifically where it's going to be, but it's going to be with Pat and his crew. Saban's going to be on the main desk.
Okay.
I would expect them to probably do a show together, right, during the NFL season?
It makes sense. I mean, we were talking about a coach cast like the hearing that Saban retired.
Yeah.
And that if Belichick didn't get a job, right away we were like, coach cast.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Get Pete in there. Because Pete's still without a home, right, Pete Carroll?
Correct. Carroll.
I think that'd be super fun. All three of those guys. Let's go.
Just for college and pros, or?
Whatever they're doing, I would watch.
Because Bill could talk college all day, and obviously you've got two of the greatest college coaches of the 20th century, Pete and Nick, right?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. We're talking 21st century for Pete, are we?
21st century
for Pete. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm into all of that. So,
so Saban and him, 21st century.
See where they end up.
Right. I'd be all in on that, too.
Yeah. I think that'd be fun. Bill's writing a book on coaching leadership.
Right. That was part of that article in ESPN.com that he's writing a book on coaching leadership. Similar people are like, why would he give away his trade secrets if he's coming back? And somebody said he could write a book just about his knowledge of football and give away none of his trade secrets.
Right.
That's how much football he knows.
Yeah. Bill Walsh wrote a similar book, and that's kind of inspiring.
Yes,
Bill.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, we just need Del Tufo's book now.
Bill, Mike, give away your secrets.
Well, the book that was once upon a time thrown at him.
Because I've worked with him.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Sitting on the Rich Eisen Show radio network at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Fresh off of calling the national championship game and UConn going back-to-back. In advance of doing some NBA playoffs as well, our friend Ian Eagle back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ian? Good to see you.
Hey, what's up, Rich? It feels like we're connected. I've bathed for you. That's a next step in our relationship.
I appreciate that.
Breaking news.
I appreciate that. Is that a game ball? Did you get a game ball behind your right shoulder? What is that behind your right shoulder?
Oh, you mean my set design? I'm sorry. What are you alluding to? Yes.
Set design.
It's a game ball. It was
what is that?
25th anniversary of doing Nets games, which is now 30 years, but the Nets did a wonderful thing for me and presented me with a game ball, a jersey that was much too large for me, and a watch as well. So the Triple Crown. Really.
Was that ball really Giannis's and you took it? Is that what happened?
I try to avoid drama, but Rich, if you're going to go right into it and lean into it, yes, yes, that was Giannis's ball. I grabbed it. Yep. I said, "This is my night. This is my day." Mm-hmm. The Bucks were upset. I calmed it down. I quelled it. We're all good now, mm-hmm. but at the time, a little shaky.
Understood. Yeah. Understood. I'm sorry to dredge things up. I know we just started, and you bathed, and I dredged, and it's just not right. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. Okay. I understand. Here's what I would really love to know. Describe to me what it is like with Bill Raftery having a wine list in his hand. What is that like, Ian Eagle? Can you describe to me what that is like when
you want me to recreate it? Or?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever. I would love to be a fly on that wine list, essentially.
sir, come here, sir. this one here. What's the price on this? On this one? What's this?
No, price is of no object to Bill. It's not an issue. What I've learned with Bill is, and I've been to dinner with him literally hundreds of times, maybe 1,000. I don't know. I'd have to do the numbers. Mm-hmm. But you can't rush him along. You know, my goal is, hey, let's get in, let's get out. I'll get some work done later tonight. That is not his goal. So somewhere along the line, he needs time to ponder the wine mm-hmm. offer. Mm-hmm. And that is not a quick decision. He's going to talk it through. He's going to weigh his options. And you've just got to strap in and get ready to go on the ride with him.
Yeah, it's like millionaire, right? Who wants to be a Cabernet? Like, you know, it's a 50-50. He'll sound out his talk out his answer.
He'll phone a friend.
Hey, PJ, this Cabernet. Good Cabernet.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
I love it. Carlissimo would probably be his first on the speed dial for that choice.
I think he would.
Gosh.
Yes.
You and Raftery and Grant Hill were a great listen, man.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. And, you know, I love that moment because your guys' reaction to Dan Hurley shoving, was it Cam Spencer right in the back?
Yes.
Of all the games that you've called in your vast career, have you ever seen a coach step on the floor and give his own player a shove to try and run a play. Have you ever seen it? That's never happened,
no.
Right?
No, I've never seen it. I think Grant noticed it first. Then we went to the replay. Raf reacted in the moment. I reacted in the moment. And it's as if Dan just lost all sense of where he was, who he was, what was at stake. And it just shows you where he goes when he's coaching. He just has this other dimension that he goes to when he's fully committed to what he's doing. And obviously it's working. He's a back-to-back national champion. This is now a Hall of Fame resume that he's put together. And the reality is he's pushing all the right buttons. He's got a great feel for his team, how to motivate his team, how to get them ready for these big moments. And for them to plow through the competition, Rich, like they have in the last 2 years, this just doesn't happen anymore in college basketball. So they are an outlier to what we've seen in the national championship now for many years. The fact that no one had gone back-to-back since Florida and Billy Donovan, but that was with the same team. Basically, the same team came back 06, 07, and a bunch of NBA players on that squad. For this team to do it with different supporting cast members, more responsibility for some of the guys that were holdovers, it just shows you the job that Dan did, the program that they have. And you're right. He just goes somewhere else during the moment. He doesn't black out, clearly, but he definitely has some other gear that he gets to.
Yeah, he may have in that moment, because we interviewed Cam Spencer a couple days later, Ian, and I asked him about that moment. And there was an argument with the official as to, you know, why they lost possession. And Spencer said to Dan, that Dan Hurley said to him when they got back in the huddle, did I really hit you? Like, did I really shove you? Like, he did not like believe the explanation from the official. Like, he did not remember actually putting hands on his own player. Like, that happened, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to make this comparison. I'll make it lightly, but there are people that break the law. And then afterwards, they're like, no, I don't think so. I don't believe that happened at all. I don't remember any of that.
Yes.
You know, I think from what I've heard in regards to Cam also is highly competitive,
yes,
verbose in those moments, will speak his mind, and that it sounded like it was a marriage made in heaven. That Dan, not to say Dan met his match, he's still in charge, he's still the head coach, but Cam, vast experience, multiple programs, a big brother that played big-time college basketball now with the Golden State Warriors, former lacrosse star, Pat. The fact of the matter is it sounds like Cam was a load for Dan to deal with as well, that the two of them really had some fun back and forths over the course of the year.
Ian Eagle joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your next game is later this week, correct?
Yes. It will be Sacramento at New Orleans, the Western Conference play-in to see who gets in with the number 8 seed. The news breaking just moments ago that Zion Williamson is not expected to be a part of it. So a huge blow for a New Orleans team that has done it the right way. They've built it up the right way. It seemed like they were in good shape at home, coming from behind against the Lakers and putting pressure on LA in the fourth quarter, only to see Zion walk off after a made bucket. And it's a hamstring issue. It doesn't appear to be a simple fix by any stretch, and just another blow to what has been a drama-filled young career for a highly talented player that is looking to take that next step as one of the superstars in the game. You've got to have postseason success to back up all of the highlights and the promise and the numbers, and that's where he currently is. That's not going to happen, apparently, anytime soon.
Yeah, and he was in the midst of doing it. I mean, 40 and 11 with 3 minutes to go when that apparently hamstring gave way. And now the Kings will be taking on the I guess, Zion-less Pelicans for the right to take on Oklahoma City. How much of a threat do you think Oklahoma City is here with the Nuggets and the leading, otherwise, a very deep Western Conference, Ian?
I'm buying them, Rich. I was down there. I had a regular season game pretty late in the season for OKC when they were rolling, and it looked like they had a chance to win the number one seed. Blown away by Mark Daigneault, who has done excellent work, and the way they built the team. Sam Presti continued to build inside out, bought into the idea that you can build through the draft and then some key acquisitions along the way. He was accumulating assets, and most people were looking at it saying, okay, what's he doing? He's saving them for a rainy day? No, he drafted really well. He didn't hit singles and doubles. He hit triples and home runs in his draft. And even though Holmgren didn't play 1 minute of his rookie year, they remained very resolute in believing that he would have a huge impact, which he has. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has been more than they even imagined. When they made that deal for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard at the time in L.A. wanted a proven star, who knows what the Clippers would have been like if Shea was still there with Kawhi, but it doesn't matter. It happened the way it was supposed to happen, and now he's been able to blossom and become an MVP candidate. Jalen Williams is a bona fide star in the making. They're deep. They have tremendous chemistry. I know they're inexperienced, and that'll be the first thing that people point towards, but I think they're real. I think this team has a clear home court advantage, and now we're going to see how the experience factor actually plays into it.
Potentially against the Kings, you know, who eliminated the Warriors last night. You want to chime in on the sports talk topic du jour, Ian, that the Warriors dynasty is now officially over? You want to chime in on that?
I think they've tried to lengthen it as long as they possibly could. I think this is a dilemma for any team that wins a championship. How do you keep it rolling? How do you transition to the next iteration of what your team is going to be? And it's going to focus on Klay Thompson and how much he still has left. Is he more valuable to Golden State? Is someone willing to still pay him large amounts of money to be a part of their team moving forward? My sense would be that they will move on unless Klay just wants to take an absolute discount to keep this thing going. But it really feels like this is the end. This was the final chapter in many ways. And now you've got to figure out which parts stay and how you now segue into whatever it is you're going to be as an organization. They had tremendous success. To me, a modern day dynasty in today's terms, because of how they did it, and they did it with some different pieces along the way, but I don't see how. I don't see how they can keep this core group together and expect for it to magically get better. It's time. I think deep down they know it. They've tried to postpone it as long as possible, but now the real work begins in figuring out who stays, who goes, and what direction they're going to go in.
Yeah, you got that sense. I mean, Steve Kerr saying at the podium yesterday, like, nothing lasts forever. He literally said those words. And if anybody who knows how nothing lasts forever, it's a guy like Steve Kerr from The Last Dance, you know? He can 100%. Read the writing on the wall. So, you know, one thing if you could do for us, because we were wondering this earlier on, now that you are calling the Kings game, can you ask Sabonis if he was in fact born with a black eye? Was he born with a shiner? Because it just seems like he's always got one. Do you mind doing that for us, getting on that?
Yeah. I'll do some legwork on that. I'll reach out to Arvidas. I'll do some family tree history. I'll see if there's something in the gene pool. He does mix it up. His numbers this season have been ridiculous.
Yes.
Double-double machine. That's right. Not even doing it justice. It's every single game. And he always seems to have, like, scratches on the top portion of his arm, on his back, on the exposed portion of his back, that there is a reason why he has taken on this kind of role, willing to do the dirty work. He is. He does it game in, game out. A lot of credit to how he carries himself and what he puts out there. And still, if you get a sense of who he is, he's very positive and smiley. He's got a really nice way about him. This is one of the rarities in sports, Rich, where we can look back on a trade and say both teams made out well.
Yes, sir.
I really think they did. Tyrese Halliburton's obviously a star. Indiana's built around him. And for Sacramento, it's what they needed. They had to make a decision between De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. We could go back and forth on whether or not they made the right one. De'Aaron Fox is an all-star performer, and they got an all-star performer in someone that is a part of their core in Domantas Sabonis.
Ian Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did I notice your voice in the Dynasty documentary on the Patriots? Did you call Brady's first start as a Patriot? Did you do that game, Ian?
I called his first home start, I believe.
Okay.
And the interesting part of that story, as I remember it, is it was all focused on Doug Flutie coming back to Massachusetts, native son returns. Doug was always great to deal with and a good dude. And that was the lead. That was the headline. The headline was not necessarily Tom Brady, but I do remember sitting down with Brady and thinking to myself after the meeting, man, this guy was really charming, was very likable. He goes out, he leads them in a come-from-behind victory. And then a couple weeks later, I do the game against Indianapolis, and they explode. David Patton is scoring every which way, special teams, offense, running game, passing game. And I made a comment during the game that they then used, I was told, on their highlight reel, like the sizzle reel every week when they got their team ready, Belichick's group put together a video. Mm-hmm. And the comment was simply, who are these guys? Because they put up 48 points, something like that, against Peyton Manning and the Colts. And as we know, history then dictates that they win the Super Bowl. Brady becomes the starter. He becomes the GOAT. He's the guy that we compare everybody to. That game that you just mentioned, Tom Brady was a secondary story. It was all about Doug Flutie coming back home.
Because I guess the conversation was, no question, how would Brady keep the ship afloat until Bledsoe comes back from that horrible injury? And that was going to be my question. It was like, what type of Brady did you find in a broadcast meeting when he was just that young and starting out? But I guess my question is about what about Belichick? I mean, obviously you wouldn't be asking him at some point, hey, how's Bledsoe doing? Or maybe that second time when you saw him. Honestly, I was thinking about that stuff the next time I had you on the show to ask you about that, since I heard your voice calling that game back in the day on that dock.
Yeah, I clearly remember the Brady production meeting. I actually remember the Doug Flutie production meeting as well. We met in Providence. And this is just a complete sidebar to the Flutie side of it. But we meet with Flutie, and that was our last meeting of the day. So we go downstairs from our meeting area, and we exit the hotel, and Flutie ends up just in front of us meeting a buddy. He's back home, so either he was grabbing some dinner or just hanging out with a friend, and we had given him an NFL on CBS hat, which we would give to everybody that we met with back in the day. And we had no idea what these guys did with the hat. Sometimes you would see like a picture later on, a family member wearing it or someone from the team and the staff wearing it. And this is not a knock on Doug Flutie at all. Flutie was a great dude. It just happened to be a very funny moment. So he's about 15 feet in front of us as we're walking back to our car. He's clearly walking with his buddy to their car, and he doesn't know we're behind him. And he takes the hat and he puts it on top of one of the meters that you would park at and just leaves it there. And I'm like, dude, did you just leave the hat on a parking meter? And he did. So I took the hat back.
Yes, you did.
Stuck it in my bag. That's and he right. just he jumped into someone's car and drove off. I was like, I guess like Doug Flutie doesn't need any more NFL on CBS caps. Our Bill Belichick meeting, I have no recollection of. I would tell you probably there was not a detailed answer to the question, how's Drew doing?
And he didn't need, he didn't get a hat either. He didn't have
food. I think we gave Bill a hat. He might have tossed it to Bears Najarian, who was his guy, his right-hand man. I believe Bears might have gotten that hat.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Doug Flutie is not hat worthy, man.
Not at the time. He had too many hats, Rich.
There you go.
Too many hats.
Well, speaking of wearing hats in the Eagle household, congratulations, not just to, obviously what's going on with you, but your son killing it.
Oh, man.
Seriously, voice of Big Ten football on NBC. Obviously, a lot of folks out here in Los Angeles enjoyed his time. Brief stint calling radio games for the Los Angeles Clippers. And then the news today, he's calling Team USA basketball for the Olympics for NBC men's and women's. Congratulations, Ian.
Yeah,
on
amazing
stuff.
Thanks, Rich. Very cool. Very full circle moment for him. He He did luge in high school, so I know this really is emotional for him.
Well, you know what? Winter Olympics are right around the corner. You know, Winter Olympics right around the corner. It's terrific. Congratulations on all of that. You know, hey, listen, you know, my daughter, she won her all-star game regional bracket. And my, when my sons are doing their stuff, I fell. And I can only imagine what you're going through, man. Congratulations on that. Go ahead, Chris. Really, I know you want to bring it up. I told him about this in our phone conversation yesterday. Go ahead.
The IRSCI, Ian. That's like the perfect CBS show.
Yeah. The IRSCI.
I'm in.
You know, that's investigating right now. Ipe Mitsuhara ripped straight from the headlines, right? You can do a promo for that. You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, your elevator pitch, I would have been in. It wouldn't have taken even a full coffee meeting. I would have taken the gig right away. No, you put it on the promo list. I will kill it.
Okay.
I'll kill it.
Fantastic. I knew you would. And we thought of you. We thought of you instantly. All right. So your homework is to find out from Sabonis if he was born with a shiner. Please do that. And do you know what your first round series assignment is yet, or we haven't gotten
Official. Not official yet. My sense is we'll jump around from Friday to Sunday.
Okay.
Tuesday to Thursday, and the first round normally you're just on a bunch of different series, and then in the second round you get assigned a specific series. Got it. For me, it's great. I love seeing a bunch of teams and getting a taste of the playoffs and a bunch of venues, so hopefully that's the way it goes.
Well, yeah, and I look forward to it as always. You're the best, Ian. Thanks for the time, sir.
Guys, great to see you guys, truly.
Thank you.
This is like next level stuff.
Appreciate
and I brought my lighting guy in, Nick, thank you.
Thanks to
we're
Nick.
We're good.
Thank you, Nick.
Shut it down. Yeah, we're good. It's a union thing.
I've never said, by the way, but you're also just you're a giver. You're a people person. Thing. And I've never said this to another guest before, so you're first. Thank you for bathing before Zooming.
America, way. I think, thanks me for bathing.
Indeed. Thanks, Ian. You be well, sir. The great Ian Eagle right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Great.
Is that his first Zoom with us?
I don't know if he's.
I think that might be the first.
He might have been the first Zoom.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's called.
He's always
a lot,
called before,
but I think that's the first. And
just it is just a note to everyone out there, all you aspiring broadcasters. Bathe before Zooming.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. You don't Zoom and then bathe. You bathe and Zoom. That's why Ian is where he is today. Understood.
Such a legend. Like, and if you wonder why Ian is the way he is, he's the son of performers. The Ringer did a great profile on him a couple weeks ago. His father was a stand-up comedian. His mother was a singer. They traveled the country performing, and he grew up in that atmosphere.
Well, you wouldn't remember this. I'm assuming you would, TJ, although you don't reveal your age. Mm-hmm. I know you would remember this, Mike.
Yes, Richard.
You remember the old Xerox copy machine commercial where a monk was given a monster manuscript to get many copies, and it was, you know, they'd have to use a quill pen to copy, and the monk just didn't know what to do and found a Xerox machine and ran off copies. From back in the medieval times, the monk was Ian's dad.
Oh, amazing!
Was it really? Yeah, I don't remember that.
That's incredible.
If you remember that famous Xerox commercial from the medieval times, where a monk was given the insane task of handwriting out multiple copies of some huge manuscript, and he just ran it off in a Xerox machine.
I had no idea.
Said this from 1977?
Ian Eagle's dad. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's Ian's dad, apparently.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that was a good
next time Ian's on, we'll have him retell the story on camera that he told that I knew of, and then I think he told on a radio when he called in once. He was a ball boy for the U.S. Open at the Forest Lawn era, the grass era of the U.S. Open, and I think Jimmy Connors aired him out once. I think that might be a part of the story, but.
So good.
We'll take a break, set up the rest of the week here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Here is the connection.
Yes, Bob.
Between me and J.B. Smoove. It involves the cult classic,
yeah,
Pootie Tang. J.B. Smoove is in Pootie Tang.
Yes.
And it goes without saying,
yeah,
that without me, Pootie Tang is nothing.
There's not. You put the Tang in Pootie Tang.
I did.
I bet.
I did, just like the astronauts.
Hey, what's going on?
J.B. J.B. Smoove.
Hey, I'm back there.
You're mad.
No, I'm back there. He was trash talking me, man. I mean,
I wasn't trash talking you.
I look up to you, man.
I was talking you up.
No, I look up to you while I'm looking down to you.
Anyone who looks up to me is a person I admire.
Do you have any good from the set stories of Pootie Tang?
You know, we were never on the set
it's
together.
Always,
yeah.
There's some great stories of Pootie Tang. Any man who can fight with a belt.
Right.
How do you not have great stories? The man had a ponytail and a belt,
yeah,
and had his own language. How do you not build a movie, right, on that platform and have success? You know, it's a cult classic. People sit in their basement smoking the funny stuff while they,
yeah,
watch it.
Yeah, and you don't even need the funny stuff.
No, you don't.
Although it helps.
It does help. It's a great movie.
And be reunited.
Yes,
with J.B. Smoove.
My brother, we are back.
My man.
We are back.
By the way, Bob said Pootie Tang five times during that interview.
And that's 22 fewer times than Marshawn Lynch,
yes,
said he was there to be fined.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign your pity on a runny kind, brother. And if you want to try to stop me, I got to say the nano.
I mean, that's the nano.
What is happening right now?
That's our first Super Bowl. We're now 10 in. My goodness. We've been at this a while. Thank goodness. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Get the app. Put it on your mobile device, your phone. Put it on a tablet. Start buying tickets. Certainly to a Major League Baseball game, because Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork right out of buying tickets to Major League Baseball. Again, you can just go to the site map of your stadium on the app and just look at the seat, and you can see the view of the seat for home plate, and boom, buy the ticket. But of course, you'll know the full all-in price before you hit the purchase ticket, but before you hit purchase, because that's what Game Time offers you, in all-in pricing. Create an account, download the app, create the account, and use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create the account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm just going to give a customer service sort of message from RES Consulting here. Just
free
of charge. Free. On the arm.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, Rich.
All of our stuff is on
the arm for Rich Eisen Consulting. And the customer that I am providing the service to is any professional athlete that thinks for a split second that they can gamble against the rules of their sport for which they play, in which they play, and get away with it. It's not going to happen. If you use any site that is, one would say, conventional legal gambling site, there it more likely than not, it's an official partner of the league you're playing for, or is some service that wants to become an official partner of the league that you're playing for. And they will make sure, if they have anything that comes across their radar screen that looks remotely off involving your sport, your account, your name, they will report it. IP addresses that might come across that looks like it comes from a facility in which you're playing, it's going to be reported. They're going to find out. They're going to find out.
Yep.
And Jonte Porter learned the hard way. He effed around and he found out. He's now banned for life from the NBA. And sure enough, they found out apparently he furnished to somebody who was a known gambler playing status of his, and that person made $1 million on the bet, and then it didn't get paid because it looked hanky.
Yep.
But the crazy thing is he bet against the Raptors.
No, bro.
Be dumber. I guess what he thought his minimum salary or whatever he was being paid needed to be supplemented. I honestly don't get it. I don't know. I know gambling is a sickness for a lot of people. I know it.
Definitely.
I've seen it. Just take a look at that 37-page affidavit involving Ipe Mitsuhara, the former interpreter of Shohei Ohtani. I believe, was it Alden Gonzalez of ESPN who said it was gambling problem 101? Oh, it was basically 37 pages that maps out somebody having a major gambling problem. And he went the other way around. He used an illegal bookmaker, but he defrauded a bank by breaking into Ohtani's bank accounts and removing $16 million. Still a lot of questions involved there. If he's $40 million in the hole, where's the other 24? Where's he getting that from? Unless it was owed to this bookie who will never collect it because apparently he's under investigation from the long arm of the law as well. Just don't do it.
Yeah, this Jonte Porter thing. He bet against the Raptors three different times.
Three times.
They won those games. So
he was bad at it. Well, because you know what? He can't control it. It's not like he's playing 40 minutes a night.
Well, he didn't bet on any games that he played, apparently.
Okay.
But he did bet on the Raptors to lose. They won all of those games. He bet 13 times on NBA games through a friend's account. It was just,
what does he think? That's not going to get found out by the league?
All of it for $22,000.
Oh, it's so sad. It's sad. It's so sad. That just saddens me. Yeah. Because this is a guy who's, how old is he, 22, 23? Looks like a baby when we put the photograph up on the screen here.
Yeah.
A terrible lapse of judgment and mistake and just galactically stupid, as you say.
Yeah.
And now he's
24.
Banned for life, 24 years old. Such a sad tale, because I'll tell you what, the league would be happy to make an example of him when they found out just how sad all this
very
is, because this is exactly what keeps commissioners of sports up at night. Is this happening with somebody who's significant? And I'm sure for a split second, Rob Manfred, if he thought for a split second Ohtani was involved in all this, he couldn't sleep at night.
Thank goodness
he wasn't. So that's our RES Consulting on the arm piece of advice. Wrapping up this Wednesday show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.